Well, despite uncertainty still being the name of the game, the local unit has managed to gain some ground, trading below the 15 Rand mark to the dollar. And joining me now, as we put the focus on Forex, is RMB's head of FX execution, Madede Tulare. Thank you so much for your time, Madede. Now, we've seen the Rand being one of the best performing emerging market currencies, especially on the back of the Russia and Ukraine war. Let's start with the 5-month high that we saw last week. The currency ran towards 14 Rand 50 against the dollar. Was it all hawkishness from the South African Reserve Bank?
Good afternoon. I suppose the key levels are really to break that 14.50 and the 16 on Euro Rand. You know, global equity continues to gain, but at a slower pace. And I suppose the biggest concern is the rot in global bonds. You know, markets pricing aggressive central bank action to combat inflation. So already the Fed curve is pricing a few hikes this year, more than what we'd expected. But the bigger issue is whether bond rot will actually spill into broader markets. Now, there's no sign of this as yet, but remember, this was a concern pre the war in Russia and Ukraine. Now, a strong Rand has mostly been followed by Rand weakness over the next year. And this has been just some of the research that we've just done, an analysis where 76% of the time, after we've seen a strong Rand, we do see a bout of weakness. Now, on the back of that, year to date, despite the small weakness that we saw over the past 2 days or so, the Rand is actually the second best performing emerging market currency, having returned about 9.4%, you know, from a year-to-date basis. So it just shows you that, you know, the Rand is actually why we call it the rattlesnake, because you just never know when it's actually going to wake up and bite you.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as it has recovered as we speak, Madede, I mean, we had the Rand really souring on sentiment yesterday, and that was as we just gotten news of the lockdown in Shanghai in China. I mean, how responsible is China for souring of that sentiment before the comeback today?
So, look, I think if anything, you know, over the next 9 months into the close of 2022, there's also going to be a lot of market events and key risk and key event risk that is going to drive us. You know, we never thought that we'd have a war. We always knew that COVID was going to, you know, be in the background. But, I mean, that has taken actually a backseat at this point in time. You know, COVID, I think if anything, you know, some of the guys have actually even forgotten that there is such a thing called COVID. And then you've still got now, you know, just headlines coming out about an hour ago or so where, you know, there's possibility of a ceasefire in Ukraine. You've already seen oil dropping around 6.5%, palladium and aluminium dropping about 8%. So it just shows you that, you know, we're going to be moving quite a lot in terms of obviously what's happening from a geopolitical perspective. But also don't forget that, you know, despite the Chinese situation in terms of COVID and obviously whether it expands into the rest of the world and we see another flare up again, there's also the local politics that we need to also keep in mind, because it is also an election year. It's another ANC elective conference. We still have the June-July the policy conference from the ANC. That's also going to be quite interesting. And then towards the latter part of the year, we've got the elective conference to see whether the ANC elects a new leader again, or, you know, we remain with President Ramaphosa. So it just shows you that there's a lot that's happening in the midst of all of this besides COVID. But over and above that, you know, you've still also got the central banks that are also going to still be, you know, giving the market some sort of guidance as to whether we're having more hikes or not. And obviously, even locally, whether we've got another 50 basis points coming in May or July. So it just shows you that there's so many moving parts besides the COVID situation that we're having out in China that's flaring up.
And that's the thing, Madede, you know, you talk about the geopolitical tensions and also the local headwinds that we are facing. So would we be right in saying that, you know, despite the resilience that we've seen in the Rand, the risk discount hasn't changed in any way?
So, look, it hasn't changed. I mean, I think if anything, you know, the one thing that we are looking at more than anything over the next coming months is obviously all the event risk that's still coming into the market. You know, just from a South African perspective, it just hurts, because even just yesterday, as we're looking at some of the numbers that were coming through from Transnet, the Transnet freight rail issues are obviously costing the mining sector about 16 billion rand in lost coal exports, about 2 billion rand in lost chrome, and about 17 billion billion rand in lost iron ore exports. Those numbers actually factor through into the medium-term budget that's coming through in October. You've also got, positive sentiment in terms of what happened last week with regards to the investment summit, with President Ramaphosa obviously bringing a whole lot of investors. And obviously now over the past couple of years, there's been pledges over 1 trillion rand. And, it just shows you that there's a lot of events and there's a lot of backwinds and headwinds that we're still facing. Even now, we've forgotten as a local market that there's something called Eskom. It's only a matter of time before we even maybe have some more load shedding. It's possible that from a geopolitical perspective that we have another flare-up in Russia and Ukraine. So it just shows you that there's quite a lot that we think maybe is being discounted. But, the tricky thing about this market is that at this point in time is that no day is guaranteed and actually no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, indeed, risks do still remain. Quickly, Matete, we've got 10 seconds. So, of course, investors would want to take advantage of the strength that we've seen in the rand. Would this be a good time for investors to move their rands to offshore accounts and assets at the moment?
That's the same question that was asked by one of my clients earlier this morning. But as you said, we've just done some research, and 76% of the time, mostly after you've seen, such rand strength, you actually see a period of weakness over the next year. So we have seen quite a lot of significant rand strength over the past couple of months. And obviously, if you just look at it just from last year, at this point in time, I think, if anything, the rand is actually quite, call it 1% up. So nonetheless, I think, 1450 relative to where we've been over the past couple of 2 years with COVID, and we've got to the levels of 19. We're far and stronger from that point in 2 years' time. So it just shows you the rand at this point in time is actually not at a bad level.
All right. So thank you very much for your insights, Matete. That was Matete Thulare from RMB.